It's bonus pod 255.
You walk across the arid, bristly, brushy, barren landscape of western northern Denmark, the Danish Highlands. The wind whistles past your ear. She almost blows your hat off, and you grab it just in time. You can't believe you've accepted this challenge to build a bouncy castle in the Danish Highlands. The biggest bouncy castle in all of Scandinavia. Why have you agreed to this? But you take another step. The rope is digging into your belly. But behind you, you hear the deflated bouncy castle scrape along the hard ground. You could have really used some help dragging this thing here, but literally no one wanted to join you. Everyone said this was a fool's errand, that you would only find failure out here. But you knew they were wrong. You said, no, people will come. People will come. They'll drive up here. How fun would it be to be in a bouncy castle in the windy Danish islands? They'll come. They'll come. You blabber to yourself. Your mouth froths with saliva. And you unravel the rope and you drop it to your feet and you pull out your water bottle and you're so thirsty. You wipe the drool from your mouth, your lips, and you look around and you see just bristly grass and bits of stone, and the sea is lapping either side of you. Well, not on one side. The sea's just lapping a few hundred yards away, and you go, this will be where I build my kingdom. And you unfold the flattened bouncy castle, and you find the hole, the aperture to pump the air in, and you put in the hose, and you go and look for the electric air pump. And you go, oh no, you're patting through the luggage. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Oh no, you realize, I left it at the tavern next to the bucket of pickled fish. The last tavern I stopped at, it was miles away. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do? You shout, I can't blow this up by hand, by mouth. And then you hear behind you two voices say, not on your own, you can't. And you turn around, and it's Phil and Pierre, both wearing like the fat lady sings outfit from the opera, like the two horns and the blonde braids coming down from under the helmet. And we say, let's go! But you go, but there's only one aperture. I don't see how. And Phil and Pierre both grab the tube, and we put our mouths together over the tube, and we're both together. And you're like, guys, I don't think that. But as soon as you say that, you look, and this thing is inflating. Phil and Pierre's chests are inflating to an extent you've never seen humans. They're like bullfrogs. And the thing is inflating. You're like, my God, it's working. Their bouncy castle is inflating. And it's getting bigger and bigger. And you're getting so excited. You think maybe it's going to happen. I'm finally going to build my inflatable kingdom in the Danish Highlands. And by God, it's almost there. The last few dips, the last few kinks in the plastic are finally filling out. And bunk! And Phil and Pierre go, ah! And they dunk, they close up the valve and they sink it in. And Pierre says, your kingdom, your kingdom. My horse for your kingdom. And you realize that Pierre is holding Phil by, like, a rein. Like, Phil is a horse. Phil's on all fours. And he's saying, will you take Phil for this kingdom? And you go, no, my whole, I wanted to build a bouncy castle. My whole business model is that you pay to go on the bouncy castle. And Pierre thinks about it for a bit, and he goes, okay, five goes on the bouncy council for a horse? And you go, yeah, right. And you take Phil, and Pierre has the time of his fucking life on that thing. Welcome to Bonus Pod.
Yeah. What I like about that is that you actually correctly described a scene where Mads Mikkelsen does a big gulp from some water.
Oh, really? I knew there'd be that scene in this movie.
Of course, of course. It's quite early on. And he also gets some big gulping drinking from his horse.
Oh, I'd love to be in a movie where I have to take a big gulp of water.
From a skin.
Yes. Like a flat round thing, mm-hmm. or like just a sagging sort of...
Both, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Like a leather water pouch.
Yes, yeah, yeah, with a metal mouth.
Oh my God, I love it. I love this genre.
It's great.
Yeah. Leather pouch is my favorite genre of movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guy
Thirsty White. Man. Thirsty Man is my favorite genre of movie. I've decided.
What are my favorite genres? I love Thirsty Man.
Yep.
I love Thirsty Man. I love any movie where people carefully, desperately inspect the earth for signs of crop growth.
Yes, there's a great one.
Which includes The Martian.
It does include The Martian. It also includes...
agriculture!
A Korean-American movie called... could you look it up? Steven Yeun. I highly recommend this movie. Mm. It's about a Korean immigrant family in America who buy a plot of what is considered...
Minari.
Barren land. And he's like... He's really driven to make...
This looks a lot like the film.
Like Promised Land.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Moves to Arkansas with his wife and kids to grow Korean produce.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
So with special cabbages and stuff?
Yeah, and radishes and Korean stuff. Yeah, Korean vegetables. Yeah. Because, like, there's a gap in the market. I think then, like, the city might have one Korean supermarket, but they're saying it's not available.
Minari means water celery.
Ah.
In Korean.
Yes, that is sort of the... there's a lot of emotional weight put into this one particular vegetable, and it's that one.
Okay, so it's one of these Asian vegetables that has like an insane number of names when you click onto it on Wikipedia.
Right.
So it's Java water dropwort, water celery, water dropwort, Chinese celery, Indian pennywort, minari, and Japanese flatleaf parsley.
Wow! So it's celery and parsley.
It's everything at once, baby. Makes sense if you remember. Sometimes you get celery that's still got its creepy little leaves.
Yeah, I've got celery with creepy little leaves right now, and I think it's part of the reason I've not used it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's like when potatoes grow a little bit of
little eyes, little tentacles,
and you go, I don't like you anymore.
I like man inspects land for crops.
Yeah, you'd love Minari.
I'm gonna watch it. Thirsty Man. I like anything where someone goes through someone else's insane diary.
Oh, okay. Seven.
Mm-hmm.
The Lighthouse.
Yeah. Yeah. The Resident Evil games.
Resident Evil games. Oh, yeah. All post-apocalyptic games.
Yep. Crazy Diary.
Who else? Whatever movie has Crazy Diary in it.
All TV shows that are about serial killers.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And post-apocalyptic stuff.
I guess. That's always good.
Last of Us. Do you watch the Last of Us series?
Yes. Yes. Crazy Diaries.
Crazy Diaries.
I love a Crazy Diary.
Did I Am Legend have any Crazy Diary? Or maybe.
I guess he was keeping his own Crazy Diary.
Crazy Diary. That's right.
In a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I love a Crazy Diary. Me and my flatmate who I lived with during the first big. Basically, through lockdown, we would sit and we would just search CIA or FBI.
On Netflix or something.
Yeah, yeah. Just watch everything. So we watched every movie with CIA or FBI in the description on Netflix and Apple and
That's
all
awesome.
Of it.
That's great.
And they all it's a good way to spend time. if you like, it's a quite wide range as well, because sometimes it is just like detective stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's ludicrous. Stupid, like The Rock plays a humble, you know.
Mm.
And there's a laser in space. You're stupid bollocks. Yeah. So there's a quite wide range of seriousness.
The CIA is MI6 and the FBI is MI5.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes.
Just about.
Okay.
Yeah. Although America has got like 11 agencies.
Mm.
It's got so many. ATF is the craziest one. Alcohol, tobacco, firearms.
It sounds like a good time to me.
Yes, please. That must be tapped on the walls of the ATF offices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're literally the fun police.
Wow, they are the fun police. But then the what's the drugs one?
DEA.
The DEA is a separate one to that.
Because those are for illegal drugs.
Oh, I get it, I get it, I get it, yeah.
They love it. They love a separate department for things.
Sure.
It gets them so excited, odd,
yeah.
And horny.
Yeah.
Very strange. I'm trying to think of other genres.
Other genres
that
of,
I like Thirsty Man and...
Oh, Thirsty Man, FBI, CIA, Assassin?
Yeah.
Rogue Assassin?
Yeah, Revenge.
Revenge, I love a revenge movie.
Revenge movies are always good.
The other day I spoke to someone who was the first person after you ever to bring up... Law-abiding citizen.
Really?
Yeah. It was with my girlfriend's family, and the rugby was on, and it was England Scotland, and in the Scottish crowd was Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
And we talked about Gerard Butler, and then this guy mentioned Law-Abiding Citizen, which I really liked as a movie.
Yeah.
It was my girlfriend's sister brought it up as the one where he cuts the guy up on the bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Law-Abiding Citizen. Yes. I love
no
that.
No one's mentioned that apart from me.
Not what? For them, yeah. I swear no one has seen it except us.
I thought it was quite a big film.
I don't think so.
Do I just like revenge?
I love a revenge. Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
I think I've only seen the film, but I love it. It's too long, Count of Monte Cristo, but...
I highly recommend... oh, God, what's it called? It's a series that only me and Ben Clark from Pappies have seen. No one else I've ever spoken to has seen it.
Oh, yeah, you've mentioned this one.
The American or something. What is it called?
The Patriot. Or
the Patriot.
It's called The Patriot.
Oh, it's called Patriot.
Patriot.
Yeah. Patriot TV series, yeah. It's great. It's so good and weird. And
no one's seen it.
No one's seen it.
How funny. And what decides if something just goes under the radar, if it's good?
I saw someone doing a thread about like how everything, because of streaming now, everything is all over the place. And someone was doing a thread about how, okay, how many of you would bet that Samuel L. Jackson has been in like 5 things this year? And everyone was like, it's saying it like as if it was a joke, and then people were like, oh, haha, and then replied with all the examples.
Like movies, or TV series.
Like stuff that's just on streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't be possible, Phil. Samuel L. Jackson shouldn't be able to sneak in.
Well, there are no movie stars anymore. I know this is a recurring thing I bring up again and again, but there are no movie stars anymore. There's only IP.
There's Robert Pattinson. But even then, like, it's IP. It's Batman,
it's
isn't
Batman,
it?
Yeah.
Who's a movie star who's young? Is there anyone?
No, I mean, that's why they call Tom Cruise the last movie star. He's kind of the only remaining movie star.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks even is making movies that no one fucking watches now.
Yeah, Grumpy Old Dingle Dong, shit was.
No one watched it. Yeah. It's only
and
Tom
that was
Cruise.
Based on a massive book, like award-winning, huge.
Right, yeah.
Huge book.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
Still everyone was like, nah.
No one cares.
No.
I mean, Christopher Nolan is weirdly like... he's more of a movie star actually than the actors, because everyone will go see a Christopher Nolan movie.
Tarantino.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a weirdly more of an auteur thing happening, and the actors merely puppets.
That's it. It's all about the intellectual property.
Do you think Barry Keoghan?
People say Keegan.
Keegan?
Yes, I mostly hear Barry Keegan.
Barry Keegan. I'll accept Keegan. I always find it weird when an Irish person called Barry.
Yeah.
To me, it's the quintessential English bloke name.
Barry.
What, Barry?
But then in Scotland, Barry is very good. It's Scottish slang for very good.
Is it?
Barry, that's Barry, yeah.
I never heard it.
Yeah. Maybe it's Edinburgh specific, I'm not sure.
Could be. Could he become one?
Could
Barry
he become
Keegan? A movie star.
He'll be a character actor. He's just
he's
too lumpy.
But everyone's going on about how sexy he is, and all his photo shoots are nude now.
That's just people trying to be interesting.
What is it that makes that keep happening? Because it happened with Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
For 6 years, every woman on the planet pretended they wanted to ride him.
Odd-looking, sexy British Isles actor.
Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah.
Lumpy Sadman.
Lumpy Sadman.
Because he came to everyone's attention as Lumpy Sadman in Irish friendship movie. What the fuck was it called?
Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
And then he was a very brief Joker in The Batman. And
was that him?
Yeah, that's Barry
Keoghan. Oh, God. Yeah. Weird.
Because he originally auditioned for Riddler.
Yeah,
he was in the running for Riddler.
And they were like, sorry, we've got a guy with a pretty big face.
To draw question marks on. Okay. We can get like 200 question marks on this guy. No problem.
This guy looks like the most Ridley guy ever, okay? Okay? It's Paul Dano. Let's just say it's Paul Dano.
Let's just say this big-faced person we're talking about is Paul Dano.
He's an incredibly captivating, moon-faced man called Paul Dano. So you've got to get up pretty early in the morning to have a bigger face than Paul Dano.
I think what it is the British and Irish movie television scene is a lot more accommodating of odd looking people.
Well, yeah,
it's and so they're able to get, if they're very good actors, to the top of their profession and the top of exposure, which doesn't happen in Hollywood. And so Americans go, oh look, an odd looking man. He's actually quite attractive in a particular way.
Yeah.
And they just don't get that in America. I can't really think of anyone, any American actor who fits that bill, can you?
They're very filtered out.
I can't think of a single one.
Americans get upset when they have to look at people who look normal.
Yeah, or just not 100% symmetric.
Not plastic surgeried.
I mean, I'm trying to think now. Who's a kind of funny looking...
Well, Paul Dano, I guess.
But he's not like... He'll always be an artsy... film star.
Yes, that's true. Cumberbatch managed to become Doctor Strange.
Exactly.
He looks less weird with facial hair, though.
I think he looks weirder with facial hair.
Really?
It looks like it's sellotaped on. It doesn't look like it's his.
It might be.
Yeah.
I can't.
I guess you're right. He doesn't have much of a chin. Paul Dano doesn't either.
No, well, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's a character actor. Jacob Elordi.
Elordi, I've heard it said.
Really?
Yeah, Jacob Elordi.
I thought it was Elordi, but maybe that's Americans.
Yeah, he's Australian, and he's like 7 feet tall.
I thought he was British.
No, he's Australian.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What about everyone? There's footage going around today of everyone calling Cillian Murphy Cillian.
Oh, right.
At like an American awards thing, I think.
Yeah.
You can see in his eyes, he's going, fucking hell.
Yeah, it's funny. He doesn't give a shit about anything, which is great.
Have you heard him on the radio when he does his radio show?
I've heard bits of it, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, he really knows his music. He's just clearly a very soulful, intelligent, and
little dork.
Talented man, yeah. Who else do we have? I mean, like, and that's why people are amazed in America, like amazed by an Olivia Colman.
Yes, they're just, oh my God, she's not had any plastic surgery and she can act?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Someone on Twitter made a good point, which was about What's-His-Face playing the Penguin. Fucknuts.
Oh, Colin Farrell?
Yeah, famously handsome Colin Farrell.
Oh, yeah.
Putting on loads of makeup just to look like any fat bald guy. And they were just tweeting, going like, we used to have actors who just look like this.
That's true.
What the fuck is the point in this?
It should have been fucking...
Tony Soprano.
Yeah. Gandolfini.
Yeah.
What was his first name?
James.
Paul? James. James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have been an amazing Penguin.
What's the point of covering a handsome man in lumps?
I know.
There should be an ugly actors league.
But that's why... I mean, we have Toby Jones. They have Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti can't do all these movies. You know? He's their Toby Jones.
But why can't... Well, there should be a different actors union for people who don't look like...
Yeah, super fit. Yeah.
It should be the lumpy, interesting people who can act.
The real SAG. Yeah, the SAG, it doesn't stand for anything.
There's SAG and there's SAG.
Saggy SAG.
Yeah. Saggy SAG are on strike, so only supermodels are going to be in things for a few months. Oh, okay.
Because the big one is called SAG-AFTRA. So the one for ugly people would be saggy...
Before-a.
That's perfect. Yeah, SAG before-a.
Before-a and after-a.
That's fucking perfect.
For the surgery, yeah. Well, they're SAG before her, and they're a fatter, weirder bunch. But they're much more compelling. And they have to be talented. They've got no choice.
Yeah, they got to do it. They got to be better than...
If you ever see a cast picture on a poster for a movie and they're all a bit weird looking, you're like, they're going to be putting in some incredible performances.
Yeah, and it's like when, you know, actors of color say, you know, had to work twice as hard to get where the others are. No, ugly actors have had to work twice as hard.
We should be hearing this from a weird, big-faced, fat guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brackets, the exception here is the spate of mafia films. The spate of mafia films is the exception to that.
Of weird-looking guys.
That was the prime time for them.
Yeah.
They didn't have to work hard
for
that.
I guess like...
What they did have to do is briefly be in the mafia or friends with someone in the mafia, because they did tend to be.
I guess that the sort of the Scorsese bunch were kind of like that. I mean, what's his
De Niro?
De Niro, you know,
he's kind of odd looking
guy, yeah.
And those guys all came from like New York theater backgrounds, and maybe that's why they could be a bit lumpier.
Because
they spent 4 years doing some weird plays, more like here. I don't think people do weird plays much anymore, apart from as a gimmick.
I was just listening to Tom Hanks' interview on the Adam Buxton podcast, and he like studied theatre. Like he did like a British way through, it sounds like.
Was it Juilliard? That's the big fancy one in New York.
Oh. Well, he's from California. And
it'd be somewhere else. But yeah, the actual studying. Even like Ed Norton and stuff, I think, as well. As opposed to, we saw you on Instagram and now you're in a movie.
Yeah.
Which is another way of doing it.
What film have I seen of recent?
What was that?
I'm currently still watching Euphoria with my girlfriend. Speaking of Jacob Elordi.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah,
I've seen it. I really like it.
It's fun.
It is fun.
It's like a teen drama with like as many genitals and tits flopping around as possible.
Yeah. There's actually less than I thought there would be. But there's enough.
I wasn't told there would be any, so there was a lot more than I thought there'd be. In that there was any.
That's the effect of anchoring for any Kahneman heads out there.
Yeah.
We've just had to sit through an attempt at a bottle episode that
Which one was that one?
It's where Rue has to talk to her sponsor in a diner. And it's a whole episode.
Yes, I remember that.
And you're like, this could have been 10 minutes. But it's clear the guy wanted to say, I can do a whole episode in one place.
There's a lot of wisdom being dispensed.
But it's the same piece of wisdom dispensed about 5 times in different ways. And you go, yeah, I get it.
Which, to be fair, is a realistic depiction of what it's like to talk to an addict.
That is true. I did think of that at the time. I was like, this is a realistic depiction of one of these conversations. And it is like a bunch of conversations I've had in real life where you do have to go over the same point again and again and again.
You have to say, yeah, but you can't keep doing this.
Yeah, but it doesn't make for the most gripping episode of television, but it's still beautifully shot and well acted, I suppose.
Yeah. Favorite bit so far?
Favorite bit so far. Oh, I don't know. I mean, the drug stuff. I think drug stuff is just always boring.
Do you think?
For me, yeah. I just think drug stories are boring and drug and like stuff about addiction. I just think is quite boring.
You know what we don't see enough of is like, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman. You know, died of an overdose. He was not just a heroin addict, but he was a functional heroin addict.
Right.
So he's taking heroin while being Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Which feels impossible to me. Well, you never see that. If someone takes heroin, they have to be like in like a shed with 11 other people covered in shit.
Yeah.
I would like to watch something about like a functional, terrifyingly functional heroin addict like that Philip Seymour Hoffman level.
Bad Lieutenant was a bit like that with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, but with coke or meth.
Coke
or
and like meth. He does meth at one point.
Yeah.
And I think also booze, just everything.
Yeah.
But then he's also quite effective. Yeah. That's an unsung movie, man. I think that's a great movie.
I liked it when I watched it when it came out in the cinema.
Yeah, same. I thought it was really good.
Any combination of Werner Herzog and Nicolas Cage, you go, two weird guys. Going to be an interesting film.
Crank? Is Crank with Jason Statham essentially about a functioning addict?
A functioning addict to adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yes, they're constantly... No, the thing
doesn't
is...
Doesn't he have to do coke at one point to keep his...
No, it's because they give him a drug that means that if he doesn't get enough adrenaline, he'll die.
Oh, right.
So he has to give himself adrenaline artificially by, like, banging his wife in public or whatever.
Yeah, on a racetrack.
I wouldn't call it functioning.
But he thrives, though. He does thrive.
Sure. We should do some Vipco.
Oh, yeah.
Okie dokie. Poopoo-la-la. We've heard from Sarah.
Sarah, I dare her to give us some correspondence.
Okie doke.
Oh, this is bonus pod. I always forget. I don't have to do the rhymes for bonus pod.
You don't have to.
I don't have to. That was a little gift.
Dear Philtong and Pierre Vos.
Nice.
It's good.
Spicy, stretchy, meaty. For,
some praise that's been redacted, which is nice.
Great, thank you.
Last year, I was on a work trip around Southeast Asia.
Yeah, nice. My digs.
Yeah, Sarah's based in Sydney, so it makes more sense.
Ah, yes.
The penultimate flight of the journey was from Ho Chi Minh City to Manila.
Okay. Oh, God, it's so hard getting that end of the world.
Yeah, everything's...
Penultimate flight. Imagine having a journey where you have to say the penultimate flight.
Yuck.
Not the connecting flight. The second from last flight.
Of my fucking legacy of flights. This is the last one. I settled into my window seat, queued up Budpod episode 20-something, and shut my eyes.
Nice.
While dozing, I became aware of a commotion.
Hmm.
In the aisle, just as the cabin doors closed. Out of the corner of my eye, I glimpsed a late arrival. A strapping, baseball hat-wearing, youngish American.
Ooh.
Yeah. Who was noisily displacing the travellers in the row behind mine. Eventually seating himself with much grunting.
With much grunting. Oh, grunting. Okay, yeah.
Grunting. In the window seat.
Yeah. It was young Tim Allen.
Yeah. Thus began the ordeal. For the next few hours, I and everyone on board were treated to an intermittent solo karaoke session. With his headphones firmly on, this doofus loudly and cheerfully sang along to his own private music.
No, what on
musical
earth?
Selection. Not all the time, but a sudden outburst every couple of minutes. That's worse than all the time.
Yeah, because you can't relax. I guess you can't really relax the other way around. But
at least you could. You go. This is life now. Waiting for him to suddenly go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just out of nowhere.
We're halfway there. Yeah, out of nowhere.
Concerned passengers in front and across the aisle would turn to see what was going on. I could only meet their gaze and shrug impotently. I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
While irritating, this was ultimately bearable. However, just after the seatbelt sign illuminated for our descent, things took a darker turn.
Mm.
The oaf was beginning to squirm.
A strapping oaf. I like the idea of a strapping handsome oaf.
I think oafs are often strapping, I think.
Interesting.
Strapping is big.
I thought strapping was always like, to me, it means good looking.
No, it's good body. It's big body.
Oh, okay.
As in like saying barrel chested, strapping.
Oh, right.
Doesn't mean the face.
Hmm.
It's implied.
It is implied.
But you can't be handsome and thin and be strapping.
Okay. Yeah.
But I like the line, the oaf was beginning to squirm. Let's just say the oaf's beginning to squirm. Oh, man, he murmured. I need the bathroom. Oh, man, I need the bathroom.
Oh, man, I need the can right now. Where's the John?
I'm such a pissy oaf.
I'm a pissy, strapping, squirming oaf.
Excuse me. Good, I thought smugly. Let the fool suffer his agonies. I like the way you think, Sarah. We seemed to be taking a long time to land. Meanwhile, the complaints from behind became more and more plangent.
Wow.
Whoa. I'd have to check what that means.
Plangent.
Plaintive, I reckon it means.
I knew the word, but I'm thinking of the plangenets, plagenets, plagenets?
The plantagenets.
Plantagenets.
No, plangent. Loud and resonant with a mournful tone.
Wow, that's specific. Oh. Loud and resonant with this mournful tone.
God. Yeah, like it's good.
Plangent. That's plangent. Wow. Nice one. Thanks, Sarah. Oh!
I really gotta pee, came the refrain over and over. He asked the steward whether he might be allowed to remove his seatbelt and go to the bathroom. No dice.
Come on, buddy, play along.
The cries grew louder and more mournful. I began to prepare for the very real possibility that this unfortunate would piss himself. And I, sitting right in front of him, might be subjected to some splashing.
Mm.
I stuck my feet as far under the seat in front as I could.
Mm.
I'm not going to make it, he breathed. I imagined the sweat on his brow, the pallor of his face. I ventured a peek rearwards. Of the thrashing buffoon, I could see only a knee.
I just love that his knees coming up and down.
In the centre seat, a young petite Vietnamese woman who was absolutely terrified.
Oh no.
Our eyes locked, but I could do nothing. In the aisle seat, there was a Filipina lady of about 50. I have never heard a crisis worker talk someone out of jumping off a bridge. But if you replace... Oh, God, sorry. I hit the mic. But if you replace crisis worker with Filipina auntie... It's so bad today. It's tree pollen.
Oh, gosh. I do feel sorry for you.
Being allergic to reality.
Just the air.
Yeah. If you replace crisis worker with Filipina auntie and jumping off a bridge with pissing themselves, I imagine this would give a very accurate picture of the next 10 minutes. You'll be okay, she said reassuringly. So, what do you do in the Philippines? Work or study? Through gritted teeth, he laughed deliriously. It's complicated, he replied.
Oh, God.
On and on these warm pleasantries went. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. In a heroic effort to keep him from soiling himself. In my mind's eye, I pictured her reaching over the petrified middle seat traveller to pat his forearm. Would you like this? She ventured. I glanced to see her offering him an empty water bottle.
Oh, no. Wow.
Happily, he refused.
Oh, okay.
A brave man.
Is that happily, though? I guess it depends what happens next.
As we soared earthward, the conversation became more and more stilted. Things were getting desperate. I wondered if she was going to ask him to pray with her, as surely this was the only avenue left. As soon as we land, he wheezed, I'm going to make a run for it. And it was so. The moment the wheels kissed the tarmac, the wretch tore off his seatbelt, vaulted over the young woman and the auntie, and disappeared towards the bathroom. I never saw his face, but the seat seemed dry, so in the end it was all fine.
Oh, good.
I sometimes wonder whether I could have done more in the situation. Could I? Could any of us? Is it airline policy to just let customers wee in their seats?
Oh, it sounds like it.
I considered thanking the auntie, but ultimately decided it would be too weird. Koji.
Well, it seems like the best of all worlds, because an obnoxious man was in discomfort for as long as possible, but also didn't soil the shared area.
The innocent were not covered in piss.
Exactly. So it feels like...
A good outcome.
Yeah, feels like the cabin crew knew exactly what they were doing.
But I know that on some flights they will have to like cordon off seats to, like they will. I think they would rather you fucking wet yourself than let you like thrash up and down the cabin.
Yeah, when the plane is at 45 degrees. Or
like that story where that person just trailed diarrhea down the entire aisle.
Yeah,
they'd rather that was in one place.
Oh God. Okay, well, right. On that note, we have to go.
Yeah. Phil, where are you going?
I'm going to Oxford.
Yeah,
I'm to study.
I'm
going back to school. I'm being interviewed in the Oxford Union. How about that? The rarefied Oxford Union.
Yeah.
Is going to ask me some questions and I'm going to talk to them. I don't know what.
You're
going to
become the Prime Minister.
I don't know what they've got to learn from me, but we'll find out, I suppose. And nice. I guess I'll end up on YouTube. Maybe I'll regret telling everyone that, but yep. We'll see. All right.
All right.
Bye.